thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
If we have not met before, my name is Noah, and I am 20 years old, and I serve in youth here in Valmona Elam. But yeah, it's great to be here with you tonight. And fun fact about me, I started a job in Domino's 3 months ago. And so I have been working in Domino's as a delivery driver. And during the past few months, I have got to know the town of Valmona quite well. But whenever I drive around doing my deliveries, because most of the time it's in the evenings and it's dark, I have the one thing I've picked up on is that every single house, well, nearly every single house has a house number on it. And every single house has different house numbers. Some of them are big, some of them are really, really tiny. And then my least favorite people of all time are the ones that choose to just not put a house number on their front door. Because I'm driving up and down the avenues looking for number 21, then I go back to the top of the avenue and I double check that I'm in the right avenue, and then I go on down and it's, where is number 21? And then I realize it's in between 20 and 22, and then I go up and I throw them the pizza because I'm not even happy anymore. But that is my least favorite part of my job at Domino's, is trying to find houses, because nearly every single shift I find myself lost at some point, and it does my head in because I get paid by the delivery. So if it takes even longer, it means I'm getting less money. But tonight, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. I'm here to tell you a story, because just like I felt lost all the time whenever I'm on my shift at Domino's, there might be some people in here that just feel lost tonight. And we're going to read from the book of John, chapter 14, if you have a Bible. We're just going to read the first 6 verses of it. That's John chapter 14. It says in verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place there for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You knew the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I am the way, the truth, the life, Jesus says, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And that is the title of my sermon tonight, is Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So the first point, you may guess, is Jesus is the way. I'm going to read another story. You don't have to turn to it. I'll just read it to you. It's in Acts chapter 9. It's the story of Saul and his first encounter with God. It says, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way, who is Jesus, that he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down on him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men with Saul stood speechless, for they had heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he had opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink." And the next few verses in this chapter talk about a guy called Ananias, who is a follower of Jesus, and God calls him to go and find Saul and to go and lay hands and pray for him. And then we pick back up in verse 17, and it says, "So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid hands on him and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me to you that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterwards, he ate some food and regained his strength." So a bit about this guy, Saul. So Saul was a Pharisee, which means basically that he's this really religious guy who obeys this really strict set of rules with the goal that he thought would earn his way to God. It would earn his way into heaven. And also Saul, at this stage of his life, at the point where we're reading, was going around to all these different towns and villages in the area, persecuting and killing followers of Jesus, which he actually believed, I don't know how he got to this, but he actually believed that this is how he was going to be honoring God. But Saul was way off, and just one encounter with God changed everything for him. For some of us in this room, we might think that we're heading the right way. We might think we're doing the right thing. We might be doing all the good works. We might be, well, I'm a good person, so surely I'll get to heaven. It might be, I go to church every Sunday, so surely that's enough. You may be convinced that you are on the right path, just like Saul. But let me tell you this. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the only way to eternal life. He is the only way to eternity in heaven. He is not our way to heaven. He is the way to heaven, the only way. So if you're in this room and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus yet, or you have been on what you think are other pathways to heaven or other pathways to the Father, I'm telling you now that relationship with Jesus is the only way that you will be with him in eternity. And some of us, on the other hand, in this room might just feel completely lost in moments at the moment. And in this story, there's a moment where Saul is blinded. He is helpless, and he's actually needing led by the hand everywhere he's going because he's been blinded. And I wonder if there's anyone in the room tonight that feels like this. Just lost. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to believe. You just feel like you haven't figured life out yet. I wonder if that's you tonight. And whether you're someone who thinks you're on the right road, or maybe you're someone who just feels absolutely lost, there's one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. And one other thing that I think we can pick out from this story of Saul being met by God was that God didn't come to Saul and give him like a better philosophy or give him like a better set of rules to follow or point him in a direction. He didn't come around and stand beside him and say, oh, you go that way. But God actually just revealed himself to Saul. And I think for us, if we're feeling lost, we need Jesus to come to us because he is the way. He isn't the God who comes beside us and says, here, this is the list of rules. If you obey all of this, then you go this way. And he points you, and then he just disappears, and you have to try and work your way up to heaven. No, but Jesus actually comes to us, and he says, I am the way. I am the one that you come into relationship with me, and we journey this life together, and I give you the free gift of eternal life. Because Jesus is the way. He is the path to the Father. Secondly, Jesus is the truth. Bit of a funny story. So me and my family, we used to go to Disney a few times whenever we were a bit younger. And there was one time, I'm not sure what age I was or what time it was that we were over there, but I think it was just after Christmas time, and I was absolutely freezing. So my parents decided that it would be a good idea to keep me quiet, to keep me nice and warm so I wouldn't be complaining, to put a pair of tights on me. And so they had completely convinced me that these were boy tights, because I was having none of it. I did not want to be wearing tights. And then I put them on, and I went into Disney, and I enjoyed my day and everything, but I still wasn't convinced. I wasn't fully convinced. I was like, are you sure? But they eventually got to the point where they convinced me that I was wearing boy tights, and I fell into their deception. And I wore tights for our entire trip to Disney. And although that's just a bit of a funny story, I think the principle of it actually can paint a picture of something a bit more serious that might actually be something that lives in our lives. In this day and age, with technology, social media, we all know it, we are exposed to more voices and more opinions, more beliefs than any generation in the past. We scroll through Instagram, and it's just people giving their opinions. And the more that we listen to these voices of influencers or world leaders, and we can get to the point where we decide what we believe, or we decide what is truth based upon all of these different voices that we've heard, and we can fall into deceptions that actually isn't what is true. And let me give you an example of this. I think in my generation especially, that relationships are a big struggle, because you're scrolling through Instagram and you're seeing everyone posting the absolute best highlights of their relationship. You're seeing them away on holiday together, and you're seeing them all out for dinner, and everything's smiley and happy, but you never see anyone post the difficult side of their relationship. So for people that are my generation scrolling through and seeing this, all they can think is, oh, this is what a relationship looks like. This is what it's meant to be. And then they get into a relationship, and then maybe it's just not all rosy the way that it looks on on social media, and then turns into a big struggle, because what is portrayed on social media isn't actually what is the truth. It isn't real. But actually being in a relationship with someone and experience it is where you'll find the truth. So there's a generation on the receiving end of influence like this who form an idea and a belief. They fall under deceptions that aren't true based off all the voices that they hear. And I think this can be the case not just for relationships but for other aspects of our lives. Here's some lies that I think some of us can be very easily deceived by. If I'm a good person, surely I'll be in heaven. There are many ways to God. Surely all religions lead to God. Should I not just follow my heart? All of this is lies because there is only one truth. And that truth is that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. He says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The whole life of Jesus, who claims to be the truth, is all summed up in what's called the gospel. And I'm going to try my best here to explain it to you in 2 minutes, because the gospel is a big story and it's awesome. And if you haven't heard the gospel or you haven't read the gospel before, then I'd really encourage you to, because it's amazing. But basically, God created the world and everything in it was perfect. And then he created man and woman, called Adam and Eve, which might ring a bell if you haven't heard it before. Adam and Eve, they chose that they would go off and they would disobey the only command that God gave to them, to eat off a certain tree. And this created a separation between man and God. And in the Bible, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this means, just as the same way that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and it created a separation between them and God, there's a separation between us and God, because the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God, which means there is a separation. But because of the separation, there has to be a redemption story. And this is where Jesus enters the picture. So Jesus is born of a virgin. He grew up living a perfect and sinless life. And he got to the age of 30 and he began a ministry where he taught people, he healed people, he delivered people from things, and he even raised people from the dead. And at the very end of it, Jesus was wrongly accused of breaking some laws. And he went and he died by crucifixion on a cross. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says the penalty of sin is death. So by Jesus going to die on the cross, this actually means something to us. Even though this was 2,000 years ago, by him going to die on the cross, this means something for us, because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the penalty of sin, is death. Which means that all of us, because of our sin, we deserve death. That is the penalty of all of our wrongdoing. But because Jesus went and died on a cross, he bore all on his shoulders. Through all of the beating, all of the abuse, that entire walk up to the cross, whenever they nailed, they put nails into his hands, and whenever they stuck a spear in his side, all of that is what we deserved. But he was thinking about us through all of this, and he made his way to the cross, even though he had never sinned and he had never done anything wrong to anyone ever. He was completely clean. He died and he took the penalty that we deserved. This is good news, isn't it? Isn't it? Yeah. Do I hear better news? 3 days later, after Jesus died, he rose again from the grave. He rose from the grave. He defeated the power of death, defeated the power of hell, and defeated the power of the grave. And so for us in this room in Ballymoney Elam, on a random Sunday in March in 2026, this means something to us. This means that we have the gift of eternal life in heaven. If we choose to give our lives to this way, the only way to the Father, if we choose to give our lives to this, we have the free gift of eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross. This is truth. And this is the greatest truth that will ever grace your ears. And we can never grow tired of hearing this. So we don't earn our way to heaven. Eternal life with God the Father is a free gift through Jesus. So Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and lastly, Jesus is the life. Before, I drive a Honda Civic now, but before that I drove a Clio, and I absolutely loved the Clio, but we had some issues with the Clio, hence why we have the Civic now. And basically there was a problem with the engine coolant, and it kept leaking out and kept leaking out, so eventually Dad had told me, you know what, just fill it up with water, and that'll keep it cool. But it also meant that if I was driving to Belfast, I'd have to stop in at Ballymena and I'd have to fill up the thing with water again. And I'd probably have to stop in at Antrim on the way up as well, and then I'd have to fill it up with water again. Because I kept giving it this like temporary fix, whereas what the engine actually needed to stay cool was engine coolant. But I kept filling up with water because it cooled it down a wee bit, because it was doing a wee bit of a good job. But it was just temporary, because I had to keep pulling in and filling it up again and again and again. And it did my head in, but it kept the car running and it was cheap. But my car needed cooling fluid, but so often, just like I was filling it with water, in our lives, we can look for temporary fixes. See, Jesus says to us, he is the only one who gives true life. But we can look so many other places for temporary fixes without even realizing it. And I know I'm still a very young guy, but I've lived long enough to see people, to see friends, who have decided to go into the drinking and the partying scene because they think that's where they'll find acceptance. They think that's where they'll find all the friends that they need. I've seen friends who've turned to things that have led them down really dangerous paths, and they think they are truly living life to all of its fullest. But looking from an outside perspective and knowing Jesus, I'm able to say that there is not a chance that is life to the fullest. Living life with Jesus is the greatest privilege of all time. And in John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says this. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Life to the full in an earthly view can very easily look like a well-paid job. It can very easily look like everyone in the world being friends with you. It can look like having a dream house or a car. But all of these things are just like the water in the engine of my Clio. It's all just a temporary fix. It's nice for a moment. It's nice whenever you first get the new car or first get the new house or you get the promotion. It's all nice, but all of it will always leave you thinking, there has to be more to this. There has to be more to this. All it does is gives you a pat on the back for a moment. But Jesus, he is the one who gives life and life to the full. In this life, Jesus offers us nothing else that has ever existed. He offers us eternal life. He offers us life beyond this one, in heaven, in the bliss of heaven. Which basically means, I'm moving on from there. I've got a little bit of a demonstration for you. That's where I'm at. So I need Neural to come up. He doesn't know he's coming up, but Neural's going to come up and give me a wee hand here. And I've got this rope, and if some of you have been around church for a while, or you know a guy called Francis Chan, you'll maybe know this, but I'm going to hold this end of it, and you're going to take the rest of this, and you're going to walk, give me the wee yell of it, and you're going to walk down to the back. No. Right, well, here we go. Right, give me one second. Right, you take it from there. No, from there, no. So it's just one long thing. One job. Right, that'll do for us. So pretend that this goes on forever. It doesn't actually. It ends at Neural. Thought it would be a wee bit longer, but no, it ends at Neural. But this here, little yellow bit on the end of this string, represents our life on earth. So this is the very start of your life, and this is the end of your life on earth. And the rest of this, pretend it goes on forever. It doesn't actually. But this is eternity. And for a lot of us, we get caught up in all of this. We think, if I work really, really hard here, then I'll be able to take it easy here. And that is just the goal of my life. That everything I do here is just working towards this little bit where I get to retire and relax. But we are so close-minded to all of this. And actually, what God has intended for us to focus on is all of this, that everything we do in this little bit of our life dictates all of this, that every single last bit of this, the millions and millions of years of eternity, whether you spend that in heaven or whether you spend that in hell, all lies on one decision that you make here. It all lies on one decision. Whether you decide to give your life to the way, the truth, the life. All of it. All, every single bit for millions and millions of years. You will either spend it with God or you won't. all dependent on one decision here. Niral, I'm going to leave you to wrap that up for me. Thank you. And to me, that's just crazy. That's crazy that we would focus on such a small, tiny part. And I added probably a bit more tape than what I've probably been quite graceful with it, because it is really, it's not long. This life is so short in the grand perspective of eternity. But the Bible is clear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. He is the only way that we will ever spend the rest of that red bit of rope with him. It is only through committing and giving our life to Jesus, the giver of life and life to the full. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity tonight to give your life to Jesus. And the band are going to come up and play. And just before we step back into a time of worship, I'm going to give this opportunity to you, and I'm going to give it to two different groups of people. The first group is going to be people who have never decided to give their life to Jesus before. And then the second group is going to be people who maybe walked with Jesus before, you've given your life to Jesus before, but then you've decided that, or maybe you've just found yourself lost, or you find yourself falling into the lies of the world. Maybe you've wandered from God a wee bit. But can I say to you that following Jesus is the greatest privilege of your life. And I know that there is so many more people sitting in this place that could also tell you that, that following Jesus is the greatest privilege of your entire life. So we're all going to close our eyes for a moment, and I'm going to offer this opportunity to the two groups that I said. So if you're in the room tonight and you do feel completely lost, you don't know where to look right now, you need someone to come and save you. You need someone to come and show you the way. Would I, could I just ask you that you would raise your hand and show so that we could have a conversation and pray with you afterwards? So if that's you, if you've never given your life to Jesus before but you would like to tonight, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to hold it for too long. Okay, and then the second group, if you're in this room and you feel like you've wandered from God a bit and you want to come back home to where you truly belong, then would you just lift your hand so we can see and we can pray with you? Last chance for anyone. That's good. Okay, God, yeah, we thank you for who you are to us, God. We thank you that, Jesus, you made a way where there seemed to be no way. The Father God, that we would get to spend eternity with you. And God, it is the greatest honor and privilege of our lives that we get to be with you in this side of eternity, God, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to be with us. And God, I pray that we would not get caught up in the things of this world, that we wouldn't get, like, turn all of our focus to what all we could achieve or what all we could work towards in this life, God. But we would keep our eyes fixed on you, God, that we would press on towards the goal, which is you, Jesus. And Father God, we pray for an encounter with you in the next few moments. And we also pray, God, for our loved ones, for our families and our friends that don't know you, Father God. That, God, this week would be a week that changes things. That, God, that this week that people in this room would experience the last blow. The family members and friends would turn to you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you come and be with us as we worship you? Would you inhabit the praises of your people, Jesus? In your name I pray all these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.